How are we doing? All right. Well, happy Sunday. I'm so glad that I get to be here with you guys. Let me ask this question. Anybody ever been bullied in their lifetime? Yeah, several of us in this room, right? I can remember that when I was in middle school, I had been bullied. I wasn't your typical athletic kid. I didn't play basketball and football and soccer and baseball and all that stuff. And because I wasn't the athletic kid, I was more of the school kid, the academic kid, I was made fun of. I was called all kinds of names. I was called girl and sissy and goody two-shoes and nerd and teacher's pet, all these things. Also some other words that I won't share today. But I can remember that I tried not to think too much about it. I tried to just brush it off, and I would say, they're just, you know, it's just being silly kids. It's just nothing. And I thought that the words really didn't affect me. But in reality, the words did affect me. I started to think these thoughts, and, well, maybe it's something that I did. Maybe it's something that I did that's making them act like this towards me. Or maybe I need to change something about me because they're acting like that towards me because of something that I'm doing. I started believing these lies. And instead of understanding who God created me to be, instead of understanding that just because I didn't have that athletic ability like they did, that I was still enough for God, and that he was the one that loves me more than anything else in this world. Anyone have an experience like that before? Yeah. You know, to get started this morning, I want to talk about the power of words, okay? And when we think about it, a good example of words, we can actually see it in today's media. We have news media, we have social media, we have all these influences that can influence how we think, how we behave, and how we even speak. So you hear a lot of talk today about promoting the narrative and controlling the narrative. That's a key term today in our society. And the term narrative is defined as a story that connects and explains a carefully selected set of supposedly true events or experiences, and they support a particular viewpoint or a particular stance. And it's becoming more and more obvious now in our society that whoever controls the narrative controls how people act, controls how people speak, controls how people behave. And you're thinking, well, how can someone have that much influence? How can someone have that much control? Well, if you take a look at social media now, you can see every single social media avenue where people are controlled by what they hear, what they see, and because of it, their behavior is a result of that. And you're thinking, well, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because words can program the mind to specific behaviors. Words are so powerful. Words are even more powerful than an atomic bomb, okay? So if I've heard it said that an invading military from another country, if they wanted to take over America, guess what? They wouldn't even have to let out a nuclear warhead. All they would need to do is get a hold of our media, get a hold of our social media, change the narrative, control it, and guess what? We would willingly hand it over to them. Isn't that sad? Yeah. And so you think about, like, why would this happen? Why is it? And it's because folks are no longer allowing the Word of God to fill them and allow for the Word of God to come out into their lives. You know, so when we think about this for a biblical application and a more spiritual application today, you guys have heard the phrase or the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true? No. Words do hurt. I'm a prime example that when I got bullied, yeah, words hurt. Words affected me. Words can affect you. And words can hurt far more than sticks and stones because they're powerful and they have a lasting effect. We often allow those words that people use to change how we think, to change how we act, to change how we dress, and even determine what we're going to do in our life. And so this morning, I want to take a look at what the Bible has to say about what we say, the words that we have, speaking the word of God, and speaking words of faith and words of life in and out from our lives. So I want to present the big idea immediately right now. So the big idea is that believers, we as believers, okay, should speak the word of God and only his word over our lives and in the lives of those around us. And words can change how we think, how we act, how we dress, and even determine what we do with our life. So you see how important it is for us to declare God's word in our life from the very beginning, because if not, it's going to influence every aspect of our lives. So over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about these healthy habits, okay? And the very first week, we had a specific word that Pastor Chris used. Who remembers what that word was? Nourishment, very good. And he talked about the things that we put into our bodies, and what we put into our bodies allows for our bodies to function appropriately. If you're eating cheeseburgers and pizza and platanos and rice and fried chicken, what's going to happen in your life, right? If you're putting those things in there, then you're not getting the adequate nourishment. Your body is not going to work very well. I work in healthcare. I see this all the time. People make really bad choices all the time, and they come into the hospital, and we have to treat them and take care of them for all these medical conditions because they're not putting in the right nourishment. Well, the same goes for our spiritual walk. If we're not putting in God's word from the very beginning, then what do you think is going to come out? If we're not taking God's word and making that a priority in our lives, we're not getting the right nourishment, and therefore what winds up coming out is not going to be anything with regards to God's work in our life. You know, Pastor Crid said that we feed our spirit or take time in God's word. That doesn't have to be a huge change. Sometimes it's just, hey, let's just start with a reading. We're all going through the book of John over these last couple of weeks, and we're taking one chapter a day. It doesn't have to be a big change. All you're doing is just opening up God's word and reading a chapter for the day. But creating that habit in your life keeps your spirit nourished and keeps it satisfied, which in turn winds up changing your life in a huge way. So it doesn't mean that you have to do anything big, but God can take that and make that into something huge in your life. He gave us the example of when Jesus was in the wilderness and he had been there for 40 days and 40 nights, and then the enemy decided to come and tempt him. And he used the idea that he's hungry, he's thirsty, so I'm going to catch him in this moment. And he tempted him and told him, why don't you take those stones and turn them into bread? And what was his response? We don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You guys notice the trend already? We're already seeing that when we speak God's word, when we speak God's truth, we can easily banish the enemy. I know that there have been moments in my life where there's been some trial or tribulation, and I know that the enemy is working overtime in my life, and all I have to do is declare in the name of Jesus for him to be gone, and all I do is declare one of the passages that I've been memorizing, and all of a sudden, I begin to feel much better. I begin to see God's power and God's work in my life. And then last week, Mike talked to us about building our faith, and he talked about building our faith in those three stages, the foundation, the framing, and then the finishing. And he asked us, are we willing to exchange a life of control born out of fear for a life of adventure born out of faith? Are you willing to really stretch your faith and do exactly what God is wanting you to do? And he used the word exercise. That was his key word. And when we think about this, God has given us the blueprint and the tools for everything we need in order to build strong faith. But we have to exercise that on a daily basis. It's just like if we don't take into consideration these healthy habits. Once again, if you're not nourishing your body with everything that you're needing, okay, if you're not exercising, okay, things are not going to always look the way you want them to look, and your body's not going to work the right way. The same thing happens with our faith, with our spiritual walk. If we're not nourishing our bodies appropriately, and we're also not exercising our faith appropriately, well, we can't expect, obviously, to see anything fruitful come from our lives. You know, so as we continue these healthy habits, you've probably heard the saying, you are what you eat, right? So obviously, whatever you put in your body, that's pretty much what you're going to look like. You keep putting cheeseburgers in there, you're going to kind of look like a cheeseburger later on, right? Yeah. So when you think about it, if you are what you eat, in essence, the Bible also says that you are what you speak. So if all you speak is foul language, if all you do is just keep mouthing off with things that are from the flesh, then that's pretty much all you're going to be known as. And God's word says in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus was coming with his disciples, and they were having a moment where they were unsure if God was going to show up. And he pretty much tells them, if you had the faith that you would tell this mountain right in front of you to move, you will see a miracle happen that God can easily help you move that mountain. Well, think about it today. This means that if you take time to memorize Scripture on a daily basis and as often as you can, and when you're facing those issues, when you're facing those trials and tribulations, you can easily respond out of the Spirit of God and not from your flesh. And you can experience the Word of God. I have seen miracles take place with people who have used the Word of God on a daily basis in their life. When we use God's Word, God makes us like Him. When we use God's Word, you can see Him transform lives. You can see a man who sits there and uses foul language on a daily basis and who, when he speaks, every other word out of his mouth is some kind of expletive. When you have that man all of a sudden allow God to be priority in his life, you can see that man go from using foul language and what comes out of his mouth is foul to a man that can speak Jesus. He can take a man who grew up without a father and all of a sudden transform him into a father. You can see miracles happen when you speak the Word of God through your life. I've seen women who all their lives have believed these lies that people have told them. And they don't think they're worthy. They don't think that they're beautiful. They don't think that they mean anything. And I've seen God's Word work a miracle in their lives. And all of a sudden, He transforms them and He transforms their mind. And He starts showing them, you are worthy. You are beautiful because I created you. And I created you into the woman that I created you to be. When we start thinking about our healthy habits, when we start thinking about what else can we do, we're nourishing our bodies, we're exercising our faith, we begin putting God's Word in our heart on a daily basis, we begin speaking His Word. And all of a sudden, that becomes our knee-jerk reaction. When situations happen, boom, we're able to then bring back that passage that God gave us. So life change can take place. Did you know that when you speak, you declare the Word of God, and then something can actually happen? The first thing that can happen is that when we declare God's Word, you actually release that faith that God has put in you, and you release it, and it then is that power for that situation. Hebrews 4:12, you saw it in the video. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. When you think about the marrow inside of bone, bones are pretty strong. If you have a sword that can pierce directly through a bone, it's going to the deepest parts of who you are. That's what God's Word is. God's Word pierces you. And while it might feel uncomfortable in the moment, it's so worth it later on. Because the transforming power that God's Word has on your life, you can see miracles happen through that. The Word of God separates flesh from the spirit, and when sometimes we get into this funk, we get into this rut, and we usually like to mouth off, and we start complaining, and we start using language that isn't worthy of God. But when we're walking in victory, when we're walking with God's Word, you see it come out of your mouth. You see it come out through your life. But not only do we then see the release of faith power in our lives, secondly, we can actually see that our faith gets strengthened. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you declare God's Word in your life, the more you use God's Word, you can see that transforming power take place. You might have that annoying coworker, okay? You're like, ugh, gotta go to work, and I gotta see this person. I don't want to do this. But just imagine, tomorrow morning, you start your morning off, and you open God's Word, and you spend time with Him. All of a sudden, that situation happens. You come to work, and that challenging situation or that challenging coworker happens, instead of you right away flipping the script, you actually flip it to God's script. And all of a sudden, instead of reacting the way you typically would, you respond the way God wants you to. And you show love and you show grace to this person rather than the original way that you would have. Something supernatural happens in that moment to you. You allow for God to take over instead of your flesh taking over. The more you declare, obviously, God's word, the more that faith rises in our hearts and it's strengthened in our hearts, and the more we want to seek God in all things, not just the big things. Sometimes we think, oh, well, God doesn't really have that kind of time for me. He doesn't have the time to worry about all those little small things. But anybody have situations in your life where you have so many small things that they wind up becoming big things? Yeah. So God doesn't just want to hear from you just when you have some big situation. He also wants to know those small things in your life. And thirdly, the third thing that happens when you speak God's word, you begin to declare God's victory over your life. God knows the plans that he has for you. He already knows what your future is. He already knows that if you follow him consistently and diligently, and that you put your faith in him, that he's going to take you on this journey. A lot of times we want for God to align with us. God, I want to do this. God, I need to do this in my life. And God says no. Because his job is not to align with us. Our job is to align with him. And unfortunately, in life, we have this backwards. We think that he is supposed to come down here and just give us whatever we want. I can just pray for whatever I want. I want a bigger house. I want a nicer car. I want a bigger bank account. And we think we have this sort of this prosperity gospel that if I just pray for it, it's just going to happen. Well, no. We've talked about this before. We've talked about that sometimes we pray and God answers yes. Sometimes we pray and God answers no. And then a lot of times he says, wait. You aren't ready for this yet. And I know the plans that I have for you. And there are times that you'll still undergo these trials, these tribulations. Perfect example is my in-laws, David and Grace Osman. I've introduced you guys to them before through one of our slides. David and Grace have been tremendous faith warriors for as long as I can remember. They have been through so many different trials and ordeals, and things have happened in their life where they have had to pick up and move from where they were to move to a different state, to start new jobs. They've had to sell homes. They've not had enough money sometimes to do basic things. And each and every time, because of their faith, because of declaring God's word in their life, God has shown up each and every time. You know, there's going to be times that you're still going to go undergo those trials and tribulations. You might have marriage issues right now. You and your spouse might be going through some things. You might have kid issues. Anybody raising teenagers out there? Wow. Yeah. You might have those kinds of issues. You might have some other family trouble. You might be having car or financial trouble. Or figuring out, okay, I don't know if I'm going to have a place to live in a couple weeks. You might be having those issues at work. But those trials are there for a reason. Those trials are there because God wants you to trust him and rely on him for that strength that you're going to need. Many times we try to do things on our own strength. We try to do things our own way. I know I'm a perfect example. I'm a type A personality, and I want to have all my ducks in a row, and I got to have all this stuff taken care of, because if not, I feel like I've lost control. But imagine giving control of your life over to God, and then allowing for him to speak through your life. You know, the passage Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, or that I have for you, plans for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God already knows exactly what it is that you need. God already knows your future. He knows the plans, and he knows exactly what you need and when you need it. But it's not easy, right? It's not easy to give that over to him. It's not easy to say, okay, God, I surrender this over to you. I give this over to you. But I'm telling you that when you do, all of a sudden something miraculous and supernatural happens in your life. You know, outside of salvation, the word of God is the number one weapon that we have to tackle life circumstances. When we apply God's word correctly, God's word has the power to do miraculous things. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that just because you follow him on a daily basis that you're going to get every single thing that you want. It doesn't work that way. And unfortunately, you're probably not going to see all the victory on this side of heaven. But like I told you, my in-laws, David and Grace, they know that their reward is not always on this side of heaven. And they're choosing God and his power over their lives. So how do you learn the word of God? Well, first and foremost, you got to study it. You got to be in God's word on a daily basis. You have to spend time with the creator of the universe. You have to spend time with your Savior on a daily basis. And I know that that's hard. But sometimes the situations that you're going through are even harder. And when you study it, then God allows you to think, how can you use my word and apply it in your life? And once you've applied it, you can then go out and speak it out loud. I know there are times that I'm listening to my Bible in the car and I'm having the Bible read back to me in the car. And in there, I'm declaring God's word out loud. I probably look like a loco when I'm going down the street and people are looking like, why is this guy talking to himself? But I'm spending time with Jesus. I'm spending time with my Savior. And I'm allowing for him to speak life over me. And these actions will allow the word to change you from the inside out. It'll allow for you to have a renewing of your mind. And it'll help you to line up with God's way. What we say matters, folks. This little organ inside of our mouth sometimes has the potential to do amazing damage. But it also has the potential to truly lift others up to Jesus. I want to close out today's message by reminding us of the most basic way of speaking God's word and to demonstrate faith. And that's confessing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and personal Savior. If you can't ever remember a time where you have chosen to say yes to Jesus, then folks, that day is today. Don't leave here today without making that right. There are people here who can take you through God's word and show you. And you know what? And if you don't feel comfortable with going up to any one of those folks, guess what? I'll be here today. You can come see me and I can show you from God's word how you can come to know him. Romans 10, 8 through 10 says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. You see the trend here? That the more we declare God's word and allow for that to be a part of our daily speech, we can declare that. And that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Make that right today. Use this as an opportunity to say, God, I want to speak truth. I want to speak your truth. I want to speak from victory that you're allowing in my life. Take time this week to practice speaking God's word on a daily basis. But that only happens through you choosing to stay in God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we get to do this today. Thank you that we get to experience how you can change lives. Thank you that we get to experience something supernatural from you. Thank you that we get to experience your transformative power in our lives. And that we take time to strengthen our words, that we use this time to not only just nourish our bodies and also exercise our faith, but that we get to strengthen the words that come out of our mouth. I pray that you would go before each and every person that's here today. And Lord, if they're struggling with things, if there's things that are going on in their lives that they just don't know how to tackle that you would begin speaking to their heart, that they surrender that over to you. And that the more time they spend with you, the more time they spend in your word, they can understand that you can allow victory in their life as long as they choose you. Thank you for this time that we get to do this morning. And we love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.